Preston Singletary, world-renowned artist and musician, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
I feel very honored to be speaking with you today. Preston, you're an artist primarily known for your work with glass and a musician and a member of the supergroup Kuik. Kuik has a show here in Juneau later on this month, and we'll talk about that in a bit. For our listeners, if you happen to be wondering what Preston's work in glass looks like, you need not go any further than Front Street downtown. Many people here in Juneau would immediately recognize your work on display in the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, the glass clan house screen with post. Would you tell us a bit about that piece?
Yeah, that was a piece that was commissioned from me, the opening of the building, the institute, and they were interested in having me do a piece. I grew up in Seattle, so kind of grew up around glass blowers, glass artists. And so as I developed my work, they started to, get to know what I do. And so they made this call out for a big glass screen. And I felt that it was sort of tailor-made for me. So I submitted a proposal, and I was honored to be selected to make that piece.
And what does it represent?
I call it an eagle. I'm from the eagle moiety, but it could be looked at as a raven too, so people can look at it either way. It's based on a sort of heraldic screen that you would find in the interior of a clan house, this one is just in glass.
And the posts that are alongside, you made those as well?
Yeah, they kind of directed me a little bit on that, and they were looking to get an eagle and a raven warrior. So they wanted to kind of show that's, part of our culture was that, we were, a warrior culture. And so to bring that into the clan house, so I first worked on those pieces with sort of collaboratively with a carver down in Seattle, and I drew the design out, and then we carved it out of wood, and then it was basically cast in glass from the wooden pattern.
It's beautiful work.
Thank you.
Actually, all your work is very beautiful. It's, without sounding too melodramatic, it is soothing to the soul to gaze upon it. I love the textures and the shapes and the colors and the form line etchings. It is all just... It's really remarkable.
Thank you.
Do people want to touch your work a lot?
Yeah, I think, to see the pieces in person is a lot different than the photograph. It's definitely has, part of my thoughts and feelings about, working in glass is that it brings another dimension to Indigenous art. And it has a luminous quality, so it really kind of draws you in. And the texture, it has this sort of matte texture, but it has this translucency to it, which is pretty unique to the material.
Now, your grandparents have been big influences in your life, and they inspired you more than, say, your surroundings. What were they like? Tell us about your grandmother.
Well, my great-grandmother, Susie Johnson Bartlett Gubitayo, she grew up in Sitka, and... she was widowed in 1919, and she already had a few children from that first traditional marriage at the time. And when she was widowed, she fell in love with a Filipino man named Dionisio Gubitayo, who had traveled to Alaska for the fishing and the canneries, presumably. And so... then they moved down to Seattle in the 20s. And so from that point forward, she, brought the whole family down to Seattle. And then that's where we ended up growing up in Seattle. So I spent time around my great-grandmother, and she lived to be 100 years old.
Wow.
And so we would spend a lot of time around the holidays, and different times we would go and visit her. And so, it was really... to have a very elderly great-grandmother like that, of course, we'd go there, and it was just a family time. had a lot of cousins, and we would just, you know, be crawling around under the tables and what have you, like kids do. And so we spent, you know, a fair amount of time with her. She was very elderly, and she was very frail, but very strong in her, you know, in her culture. I mean, she, you know, basically became Presbyterian at, you know, so she was church going. She was, when she lived in Sitka, she was also sort of like an ambassador, I guess, really for the church. She was sort of bought into the, you know, the opportunities that, you know, she could learn how to bake and cook and, you know, in this new way. And she embraced the change, and she tried to, you know, help other families and you know, women to, you know, come in and learn the things that they were doing and sewing and all of this other stuff. So she, but she was very strong in her knowledge of, you know, how she grew up. And she told us stories, and she, you know, spent that time with us. But it was really hard to understand her, too, because Tlingit was her first language, obviously. And she, so that's just the memory that I have of her going and visiting her, you know, was quite old. And she would, you know, sit there, and she'd have all of her grandchildren, great-grandchildren around her. And then at some point she'd like, oh, you know, get up out of the couch, and then she'd go take a nap, you know. So we were just, you know, just to be around her was just that memory that I have of her. But her son, so her son, Max Gubatayo, was, you know, from who I knew as my step-great-grandfather. My uncle Max, it's my great-uncle, he wrote a lot of stories down that he told her, or that she told him, I'm sorry. And so, you know, we have those stories, and we have that connection, and slowly over time, I really, you know, in an effort to sort of make some, you know, my artwork more distinctive and more personal, I turned to my culture. And I didn't really know what I was doing at the time, but I was, you know, copying things out of books and trying to learn the language of the form line style. And so, you know, over time, I found people that could help me and teach me, different mentors throughout my career. And I learned how to, you know, make the glass look like, you know, form line and traditional.
In an interview you gave last week to KUOW in Seattle, you talked about your methods for working glass, your upcoming exhibit, The Raven and Box of Daylight, and how it was received among elders in your community. And that was a terrific interview, so very interesting. But you said in that interview about your art, quote, "I often think of a genetic memory that was awakened. The more you know, the deeper you reach inside to pull something out." Does this apply to your music as well?
Yeah, the music, you know, essentially was my first love. You know, growing up very urban in Seattle, I was playing music all the time, guitar. Well, I started with piano, and I switched to guitar in high school because it was closer to the musical styles that I was interested in. And then eventually, you know, I played with this amazing bass player, and I just fell in love with the sound and the technique that he utilized. So I abandoned both the guitar, you know, piano and guitar, and switched to bass. So I tried for many years to be, to make, you know, be in bands and be more career oriented towards music, but I just realized it wasn't in the stars for me. So years later, I started a group. The first group I had was called Little Big Band, and it involved native musicians, and I called it a funk rock, you know, a funk band, a native funk band, which, you know, was kind of, you know, ended up being more bluesy rock style, but it was, you know, it was that's my interest in music is funk soul style. It's like, you know, I first started playing piano. I was into Scott Joplin. I was really into the complex rhythmic style of the piano playing, and that sort of carries over into the funk soul music. To me, funk music kind of embodies the best of, you know, rock and jazz and soul, and dance music and even gospel. And so that's what we try to bring into the band Kuik, because we are using, to tell this a little bit of the story about that, I met this great keyboard player named Bernie Worrell, who is the co-founder of Parliament Funkadelic. And so he was, quite an iconic musician, very amazing and very extremely versatile. And just basically I paid into a Kickstarter campaign, which funded a tour bus for him at about age 69. And so part of that package was he came out to Seattle and he played a private show for me for my birthday, my 50th birthday.
Cool.
And I told him about my band, and we ended up, he played my birthday party, and then the next night he played, a public show where they could sell tickets because they were on the road and they wanted to, make money while they were out on the road.
Of course.
And so we opened up for him, and in parting ways, I spent time with him, showed him my studio and connected with him, very deeply. And as we were parting ways, he said, I've been thinking about your music and we should get together and work on some music together. And I was just blown away. I mean, I was really shocked. But I saw it as an opportunity to bring him out to Seattle. And at the time we were doing, I sang him a traditional song when, I was welcoming him to Seattle, at my birthday party. And he took that traditional song and he started to improvise on it. And he took the melody and he would, change it into sort of a ballad on his, keyboard. And then he switched to his organ and his synthesizer, and it just kept evolving. And my jaw just, hit the ground, when I heard what he was doing. I knew he was an amazing improviser. So I got together with some of my traditional, my Tlingit friends, Gene Tagaban and Clarissa Rizal. And I said, can we take, can I get you guys in to sing some songs? And then we would use that as a jump off point to create spontaneous improvisations around the Tlingit melodies. And so we went into the studio and just started, singing and recording. It just kind of happened very organically. And then that's resulting in all the albums that we've been putting out.
We're going to take a quick break and listen to We Are the Water Protectors off the new Kuik album, Heen. We'll be back with more with Preston Singletary right after this.
We'll be right back.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Preston Singletary, a member of the band Kuik, coming to Juneau on January 28th. I wanted to talk about the images that accompany the music. We have your LPs laying around here in the station, and the cover art is really striking. What's the story behind the album art of The Wilderness Within?
The Wilderness Within was a title that Clarissa Rizal came up with when we were recording our first album in the studio. She was so energized by the music that was coming out. I don't think that she had any idea of, you know, the types of musicians I was going to bring in. And, you know, we have the organ, we've got the, you know, these amazing drummer from New Orleans, Stanton Moore. And he's just such an energetic drummer. He's really amazing. He's one of the best drummers in the world at the moment. And we go back into the recording booth and we crank up the track that we just, you know, had produced. And she's, you know, she's got this feeling about, like, you know, it was so energizing. She really wanted people to hear this. She goes, it's like this, the wilderness within, you know, it sort of brings this primal kind of a new energy to the melodies that we were singing. I said, that's a great album title. So I really wanted to, so what we did is we took a picture of, you know, the Snoqualmie Falls, and created, you know, it's like the hair of the woman that's sort of laying on top of the falls becomes the cascading water, and she's holding, you know, she has sort of the moon that she's holding up in the sky. And, you know, so it just, to me, it brings about the feeling of the matriarchy of, you know, and celebrating, you know, female energy. And so I was always really interested in, you know, the album format is such a cool opportunity to create, you know, artistic images. And so this is, you know, sort of a photo collage that we came up with to kind of give that feeling.
Were you the designer, the artist?
I worked collaboratively with a good friend of mine, Maurice Caldwell, who is another Seattle guy. He's a graphic artist and a musician and an artist as well. So we talked about the idea and kind of collectively designed it together.
Now, did Maurice do the artwork for Heen?
Yeah, the album Heen is actually was a photo collage that was created by a New York artist, Matt Wisniewski, and he does a lot of Photoshop and blending of, like, nature images with portraits. And so I was really attracted to his work, and I just called him out of the blue. I went to his website and asked him if he'd create this image for me. And so I used myself as a subject and standing in my traditional regalia and holding a canoe paddle. And since the idea of the album was water, Heen, you know, so he came up with this this amazing artistic backdrop and did it, you know, as a Photoshop collage.
It almost looks like glass, your paddle there.
Yeah, it is a glass paddle that I'm holding, but he kind of created more water and waves kind of rolling through the image.
Very appropriate.
I was really, you know, attracted to, you know, albums in the 70s and 80s. There's a design. There was a group called Hypnosis, and they had designed a lot of album covers for Pink Floyd and, lots of other famous album covers. So I was trying to evoke that kind of a feeling.
If we want to get a copy of one of your albums, where's the best place to get it?
You can go right to the website, Kuik, KHUEEX.com. You can also get it on Bandcamp or iTunes. So all those channels, you can get them digitally or you can get the physical album. I'll probably bring some up with me for the concert as well.
Speaking of the concert, the show is Monday, January 28th, 7:30 p.m. at Centennial Hall, and tickets are available at Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, Hearthside Books, and online. All right, so tell us a little bit about the show. What can the audience expect when they come?
So we're a 10-person group. We have, keyboards, bass, drums, guitar. We have two horn players, three vocalists, percussion. We're a big group. I kind of equate the music a little bit to sort of a Miles Davis kind of rock era, kind of improvisation. Music's very dynamic. It's very electric and jazzy. We have an amazing sax player named Skarik, who is a very avant-garde sax player out of Seattle. He's an old friend of mine. We played in many different kinds of projects together and recorded. And then we have Tim Kennedy, who's an amazing jazz keyboard player out of Seattle. He's replacing Bernie Worrell, who we lost about 2 years ago. And then our vocalists, we have Gene Tagaban, another local hero, Sandra Segundo, who is a Haida singer, and Nahan also is another Tlingit tribal member.
Are you excited?
I'm excited to come back and bring this music to Alaska. This is something that I've kind of dreamed about, so it's finally coming to pass. And so we're going to first be in Anchorage. We're going to play at a World Music Festival at the Alaska Native Heritage Center on Saturday, the 26th, and then we'll fly down to Juneau and we'll come and play for you guys.
Thank you so much for coming to play for us, and thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank
Preston
you.
Singletary, he's a world-renowned glass artist as well as the brainchild of Kuik. And again, the concert is Monday, January 28th. Get your tickets. As we in the interview, I wanted to play one more track. This is not off the brand new album. It's from maybe a couple years ago. They Forgot They Survived. There was a particular lyric that I liked. Drag our hearts across the sandy beach and erase our footsteps. Who spoke those lyrics?
That was Clarissa Rizal, who's also a local Juneau resident for many years. And unfortunately, we lost her as well, so we've lost two band members. But Clarissa was a very special person for me, is a mentor and a teacher and a good friend. And so that's a spoken word piece that she came up with. And just as a matter of interest, we're going to do a new piece that is kind of a tribute to Clarissa, based on one of her poems that she wrote. So we're going to interpret that.
Let's all remember Clarissa now as we hear They Forgot They Survived by Kuik. And Preston Singletary, again, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you.